Let's just bow down to pray. My Father, my God, I come by the blood of Jesus. I confess my sins. Father, I come to ask for fresh mercies, Lord. Insufficient measure, Lord God. Lord Jesus, I ask for your grace also and the help of Holy Spirit in sufficient measure. As we go into your word today, you will help me in your mercy. Lord, under the covering of my Father, so bring forth a word in season. Lord, a word that will come forth in clarity, in simplicity, and the comfort and love of Holy Spirit. I pray for the gentleness and the meekness of Christ to bring forth a word in season, Lord God. Help me to speak words of truth today and soberness. As your word goes forth, let it cause our wills to become more humble, our minds to further enlighten the revelation of knowledge, and our emotions to further controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Spirit. As it goes forth, let it break yokes in lives, in our life, Lord. Let it set men free. Let it bring glory to the name of Jesus and blessing us towards the sons of men. I also pray for the grace, Lord God, to enable me as a scribe, instructor of the kingdom, to bring a word in season, Lord, things new and old. I also ask for grace to redeem the time, not to say things that are unnecessary. I thank you in faith, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for all you do in our midst today. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. The title of my message today is Wise Men Turn Away Wrath. Let's say to God, wise men turn away wrath. You see, God is calling on wise men today to turn away wrath that has come upon our nation, Nigeria. When you hear about the word city in the Bible, he either speaks of a church, like you see in the book of Hebrews, talks about the church. He said you have come unto the city of a living God. Or it can also mean a nation or a society. So that is what it means. It says wise men turn away wrath. It is scornful men from this scripture you have just read that have brought our nation into a snare. We'll see as we continue. But there is hope in Nigeria. Say there is hope in Nigeria. It's a word of encouragement. It's a word of hope. Like Pastor Clay was sharing, there's no need to be afraid. Say God is in control. He's in absolute control as we continue. Praise the Lord. So what are we saying? You see, when you talk about wrath, people are always afraid. But you see, the Bible lets us know in the book of Psalm 19, verse 9. It says that the fear, which when you want wrath or judgment, is the same thing. It says that the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And the judgments of the Lord are what? True and what? Righteous altogether. So the judgments of God are what? True. And they are what? Righteous altogether. So whatever you see that God does in the nation, whatever you see that is done in the Bible that you don't understand, go back to the scripture. It says that the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Praise the Lord. So as we continue, let's put some definitions. What does it mean to be a scorner? A scorner is a proud and arrogant person who is void of spiritual wisdom. You see, I'm trying to limit my definitions to what we are talking about today. A scorner is a proud and arrogant person who is void of what? Spiritual wisdom. The fact that the person is proud hinders him from receiving sufficient grace that comes with life that gives him wisdom of God. But with the lowliest wisdom. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 6 in the Amplified Bible. Let's just put the scripture behind it so we can see what people have done in our nation. A scoffer seeks for wisdom in vain. For his very attitude does what? Blinds and deafens him to it. But knowledge is easy to him who being what? Say teachable. Understands. Talks about the meekness and the lowness of pride. Bible says, let us learn of me. Meekness and lowness of heart. And you find rest unto our soul. Not just rest unto our soul. Also find rest in our nation. Praise the Lord. So I put it as a scornful man both in the church and the political realm have brought Nigeria into a snare. A snare is a trap. Folks, we must not deceive ourselves. It's as if there is a siege against us in this nation. But by the mercy and the grace of God, as we continue, and we see from and we practice more what we have been taught, as wise men, we are going to turn away the wrath of God. We're also going to turn away the affliction of Satan. You see, we deserve the judgments that have come in our nation, Nigeria. We'll see. Because of the sins of the church and the people of this nation. And also Satan is already buffeting us. Are you following me? You know, the affliction on Nigeria is serious. It's more than normal because Satan can see what God wants to do, but he has failed in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. So let us look at the scornful men in the church and the scornful men in our nation, Nigeria. 2 Peter chapter 3, read from verses 3 to 5. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 to 5. It says that, knowing this first, let's read that, knowing this first, that shall come what? In the last days. Where are we now? We're in the last days. Scoffers, walking after their own lust. Next verse. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? So this is the critical thing you do about scoffers. They have turned away from the primary reason for which God raised them up in ministry. They say, where is the promise of his coming? That is, they don't believe that we can be like Jesus Christ, or that Christ can come in us in perfection and fullness. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continued as they were from the beginning of creation. I'll talk about Paul Elton. God reminded me of this great apostle that God sent. Many of these scoffers, are you following me? They are saying, since people like Paul Elton and other people that God has used to bring this kingdom message about purpose and destiny for the church, since they have died and fell, that's fallen asleep, they begin to say, where is the promise of his coming? And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the Father fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Next verse. For this they willingly are what? Ignorant. For this they willingly are what? Ignorant. Let's leave it as like that. These are ignorant men in the body of Christ. They are ignorant. They think that God is like them. But say, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. We spoke about Isaiah the other day. Isaiah prophesied that the virgin will conceive. He lived and died, and didn't come to pass until years after. Folks, if there's anything we can stake our lives on, like Pastor Kuni was sharing beautifully this morning, is on the word of God. The Bible says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Now let's look at scornful men in the nation. Isaiah 28, read from verses 14 to 15. Isaiah 28, verses 14 to 15. We have scornful men in the body of Christ. Scornful men in our nation, the politicians, all the crazy stuff that is going on in our land today. So this is what the Bible says about them. Say, wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule these people which are in, say, Nigeria. Next verse. You can put your nation there. It doesn't have to be Jerusalem. Because you have said, we have made a covenant with what? Death. And with hell are we in art agreement. This is what they are saying. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through. So they know that the scourge is coming. They know. But because most of them are involved in the occult, most of them, so they believe that the thing will just pass over them. They are deceived. It shall not come unto us, but we have made lies our refuge. That's why the Satan is their father. He's the father of lies. And what? We have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood are we what? Hid ourselves. Folks, there is no hiding place for anybody in this day, both in the church and in our nation, and in the nations of the world, not limited to Nigeria. Praise the Lord. So it's very important for us to note that as we continue. So I'll put it, I say, Nigeria, because of bad church leadership, is facing wrath from God, and also being buffeted by satanic affliction because of the sins of our political leaders and the sins of our forefathers. You see, the sins that people have been committing in this nation is part of the problem. The cumulative, when you combine all these things, you know, that is why we see what we are seeing. And we are praying most times, and it seems as if we are not getting results. No, don't give up, like the Bible, the choir was singing. Say, don't be weary in well-doing, because we will reap in this nation if we do not faint. The harvest I'm talking about here is the harvest of the sons of God. I follow the Bible says, the husbandman waited patiently for the precious fruit of the earth. Are you with me? The Bible says, like also quoted in the book of Galatians, says in Hebrews, it says that God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of law. Many of us today are doing what God has told us we're taught to do. We are actually practicing the love of God. And I will encourage us to continue doing it, because as we continue, that is one of the ways in which God will turn away this wrath. In fact, that is why God has kept this nation as one. You see, it, what is happening is not natural. Under natural circumstances, these nations are broken into pieces. But at every point in time, God steps in and says, no, Satan. I find it very interesting that the motto of our nation is unity and peace. Yes. And that is what God is using. Either you are a believer or not, once you say unity and peace, is that thing comes in. God says it's unity and peace. It's not just men that decided, because in unity lies our strength. But in the church and with this nation. And peace is going to reign in Nigeria. Praise the Lord. So what are the causes of wrath? Our pastor has taught us. Everybody say greed, which is covetousness. Say murder and wickedness. You see, abortion, bestiality, witchcraft, homosexuality, all this crazy stuff that people practice. Are you following me? These are the things that bring the wrath of God upon a nation or even upon an individual. Are you following? Praise the Lord. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 4 in the Amplified Bible. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Are we there? In the Amplified Bible, what does it say? Riches provide no security in any day of wrath and judgment. But righteousness, say righteousness, uprightness and right standing with God delivers from death. Folks, there is no amount of money you have or security that can protect you in this day of wrath. And also, let me add more to it. It does not matter where you run to. If you like, run to America. The best thing is to stay where God has put you. Under covering, like the servant of that man of God. When they came to arrest that man of God that was dwelling in Dothan. Are you with me? So there is no amount of riches, no amount of security. The things that you hear every day, kidnapping, armed banditry, you begin to, it's enough to make you afraid. But God has not given a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. I'm getting ahead of myself. Bible says that because you have kept the word of my patience, those are the things you need to look at. When you see the news, this one happened. Then to send your children to school, you start getting afraid. Why are you afraid? God told Jacob, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake when you left the father's house. He said, until I have performed all I have spoken to you. God will perform all he has spoken to our children. I don't care whether they're in London. I don't care whether they're in America. He will keep them. And you know the good news that's coming to me. It's not in my notes. Are you following me? He's going to bring them back. Yes, so. He's going to bring them back. Didn't he bring Jacob back? He's bringing them back. Because this is a land of destiny. It's a land of purpose. It's a land that God has destined to spearhead the end time revival. So why do you want to stay over there? Say, we'll bring your sons from far. They are coming back. Oh. They are coming back. You don't have to tell them to come back. You can tell them, but they will come back. There will be a pull from the throne. Oh my God. I'm getting ahead of myself. Why? By Elton came in 1937. The man had never been to Nigeria before. And God spoke to him and said, go to a place called Nigeria. I was told they had to look through the map to find out where Nigeria is. To find Elisha. To find Elisha on the map. You know, I mean, must have known Nigeria. To find Elisha. There was a pool that was stronger than what was holding him down abroad. So there's going to be a pool upon our children. They're going to wake up one and say, I'm coming back, mom. I'm coming back, dad. So, but why do you want to come back? Some of them, I'm not prophesying, please. Don't let me say it. But, you see, like pastor, that's a good example. Instead was going to study abroad, you know, engineering. And he had, God said, they had to leave that. And they came back. Some of them will not finish what they've gone to. It's not a cause. I said some of them. I don't know. I'm not God. When the pool is so strong, they're going to leave everything. These are not in my notes. When God called Elisha, when God called Elisha, It was God spoke to Elijah. Elijah was not there. Say, go and anoint Elijah in your stead. Then, you know, the other people, you know, Azahel and all that. But look at Elijah. Then he went to go and meet Elijah where he was plowing with his oxen. As he kept on plowing, as he just threw his mantle and threw it upon him, God will do something with our children. And he said, let me go and say, beat my. He said, why? He said, go. He said, whatever you want to do, I've done what God has told me to do. And then he left everything. He took, I was passing, he was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. Then he killed one, cooked it, boiled it, did a send off party for his friends. And then he came back home. Why? So that he can inherit the double portion. What am I saying? Elijah is here. So Elijah must come to follow Elijah. They must cross Jordan to inherit the double portion. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's continue. So as we continue, I'm not saying bring them back. It's not a fleshy thing. You don't say come back. No, it's, we're not talking about the flesh here. You know, it wasn't, I keep giving an example of pastor. It wasn't pastor's parents that said they should come back. So it wasn't a fleshy thing. They wanted him to stay. But God said, come back. And he said that if he knew that if he stayed, he will not be able to fulfill God's purpose for his life. But the other side of it is this. Everything he has left, God has given back. Today, pastor is a doctor. Today, mom is a doctor. Now, you understand the scripture. All this among my notes. They're just coming. In the book of Mark chapter 10. Where it says that no man has had left father, mother, houses, brethren. He listed everything, education, career, for my sake and for the gospel's sake. But shall in this lifetime, do what? Receive a hundredfold with persecutions. People want, they want to mention persecutions. Folks, either the best thing is to leave everything and follow so you can get a hundredfold. Rather than for you not to follow, persecution will still come. So praise yourself. Praise the Lord. So I put it in my notes. I said, it is by the mercies of God that we have not been consumed in this nation, Nigeria. That's what God told Jeremiah. After God disciplined Israel. And he was writing Lamentations 3:22. And he looked at it. It looked so bleak. It looked so bad. But he now saw that it is by his mercy that we have not been consumed. That is, there is still hope. Say there is hope. So there is hope for us in Nigeria. Things may look so bad in the political realm. You can hear different news about 2023. All kinds of things. But let us first of all, like Bambu said, let us thank God. Because his mercies, tender mercies, are new every morning. The fact that you can wake up, come to church. Folks, there are people in different places in the nation. There are people in the hospital. Some went to bed yesterday and they didn't wake up today. Are we better? No. It is just by the mercies of God. There are people in this nation, are you following me, that are in places that they cannot even pray or worship. But yet, God has decided to show us mercy. That mercy will not be in vain. Because it is for a purpose. So we as wise men, in this place of safety that God has kept us, we can turn away wrath from our nation. Praise the Lord. So, as we continue, I say, but God wants to turn away wrath from our nation, Nigeria, and the affliction of Satan through these wise men. Now, who are these wise men? To summarize, they are true apostles and prophets. Typified by one, Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10, Paul says, I as a wise master builder. So we can see there that there are two apostolic and prophetic ministries that God has raised up. So Paul calls himself a wise master builder. He said, I've laid the foundation and I builded thereon. But let every man take it how he builded. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 32, talks about the sons of Issachar. They are not many, but they were 200. See, they were men. See, and of the children of Issachar, which were men, they had hard work, that means they were mature. They were not children. And somewhere he mentions the number. He said there were 200. Yes. They had an understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. They had an understanding of the times and the seasons to know what Israel ought to do. And the heads of them were 200. And all their brethren were at their command. It's important for you to be under the command of the sons of Issachar. For you to have an understanding of the times and seasons and what Israel ought to do. Like mommy will say, also to receive the capacity and the capability to do it. Because many have tried to do it and have not been able to do it. Praise the Lord. So those are the wise men that God is raising up. Now you may not be like these wise men yet, but we'll see how you can as you continue. So my notes in preparing, God, I believe, revealed this to me. Wrath can be turned away in two basic ways. Say, firstly, by the mercy of God, and so by vengeance. So there are two ways you can turn away wrath. You see, the best way that God desires, because the Bible says God does not desire that he's not willing that any should perish. Are you with me? So the first thing that God does is to show mercy. Have I said, it was when he proclaimed his name to Moses in Exodus 3:34. He said, I'm the Lord God, what? Merciful and gracious. That's why God is calling on us today to be wise men. We'll see as we continue. We'll release the mercy of God to turn away God's wrath from our nation. And this comes through honesty of heart, humility of heart, and repentance. Let's see the example of Moses in the Bible. Psalm 106 verse 23. Let's see how God through mercy delivered the children of Israel. Therefore, he said that he would destroy them. Had not what Moses is chosen. Stood before him in the breach. To turn away what? His wrath. Lest it should what? Destroy them. So you can see Moses standing in the gap. And holding the hand of God. Turning away his wrath like you can see. You know, you see Moses oftentimes. You know, God was very angry. And rightly so. He will say, this 10 times you have tempted me. And Moses will stand and say, no, Lord, you can't. Please, have mercy, Lord. Why? Because if you destroy them, they will say you can't take them in. This is the example of Daniel. Not many in the Bible. Abraham. God will call Abraham aside. These are wise men that we see in the scriptures. I call Abraham. Say, can I do anything without telling my friend Abraham? You see, I don't want to talk about Lot today. The Bible said he sat at the gate of Sodom. But he was an ineffective priest. You see, because God could not find 10, just 10, including his own household. To show you, why will God be asking Abraham? To show you that even with the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah, in spite of themselves, God still wanted to save them. You understand? We often pray, you know, we say things about God destroying Sodom and Gomorrah and all that, turning his wife to a pillar of salt as Lot's wife. But see the background. The background is that if God had found 10, he would have saved them. And the other thing I want you to see today, when they were going to choose the land separate, Abraham, I won't talk about Lot today. I want to say something. He told Lot, he said, Lot, when the herdsmen were fighting and all that, you know, the foolish man, you were fighting with your uncle that allows you to have the wealth that you have. Because you now have a few things now, a few coins, you now feel you know more than your father. As if he had left you in all the Chaldees, you have died serving idols. Anyway, this is what I want us to see, so I don't skew off the point. He told Lot, think properly. He said, Lot, he said, if you go to the left, I will go to the right. And if you go to the right, I will go to the left, right or wrong. So let us say that, please don't be angry. Let us say this is Sodom and Gomorrah. Don't be angry, just an illustration. So, what of if Lot had somehow humbled himself and gone to the right? That means Abraham would have been forced to go to the left. And what would have happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? So that is why you have a wrong person sitting at the gate of Sodom. Abraham should have been sitting there. I would have saved them. So why? Now look at this. Listen, please. We thank God for his mercies. Now listen to this. Didn't Abraham take the people in his household to save Lot the first time? So why would he have done it the second time if he was sitting at the gate of Sodom? Because what was coming out from Lot was not enough to sustain him and his family. You know why? You now see the importance of covering. His nakedness was shown after he came out of covering. So the flesh rose up. His children committed incest. Are you with me? With him. His wife, who was under covering before, under Abraham, turned back and became a pillar of salt. Please don't play with covering, no? Pastor Kune was sharing so beautifully today, and I thank God for what he shared. Please don't play with your covering, no? Please, it's not emotional. I keep saying it because I'm talking from experience. I didn't plan to say this. I will say it today. About some years ago, God spoke to me, gave me a specific instruction. I'm going to mention it because of what Pastor Kune shared. He said, make sure you find an hour every day to pay for your parents, spiritual parents. He said, make sure. He told me. He said, you don't miss it again. It's now a priority. So before you know, and that's why I see the change in my life that I'm experiencing. I'm being honest. You see, it does two things. One of them does it keeps your heart right. The first thing I noticed is in my life, God started separating me from those that speak against authority. Before, I would just walk into their midst and I would hear the things I'm not supposed to hear. The light goes out. But it has reduced drastically. Pray for your covering, you know. It's enlightened self-interest. You know why? It keeps your heart. That's how you keep your heart with all diligence. So your heart is there. So, like in Psalm 133, the anointing on the head, when it begins to come down, once you are properly aligned, I don't care whether you are in the neck or the shoulder or the hem of the garment or even at the foot, the same light, the same revelation, you begin to get it free of charge. Why have I said that? I'm not saying, I never intend to say it, but to encourage us, because I don't like to point attention to myself. But what I'm trying to say is this. Bible says Elijah is a man of like passions. I'm a man of like passions like everybody, with same fleshly infirmities. But when God told me that, and I began to do it consistently, systematically, with the right attitude, and I saw a dramatic change. It may not be for everybody, but at least I can say for the leadership, those of us that are leaders in church, and if you are following after, try to do it. At times their hands are weary. You know why? It's just people are just coming to me. Papa said, he that giveth a cup of water to a prophet shall know why lose his reward. This is not physical water. I can give the physical water. A lot of people do the physical activity, which is good. It's not bad. But talking about when you lay down your life for them in prayer and intercession, you get a prophet's reward. You prosper in the purposes that they preach. You see the same thing. You begin, Bible says that the watchman, when you begin to pray, shall see eye to eye the coming of the Lord. You begin to see it. So it's no more, you're no more, like you said, Isaiah. You can begin to see clearly. Let me get back to my notes. I just said, as you mentioned, that we thank God for our parents. Praise the Lord. So, where were we? I said, judgment, wrath may be turned away in two ways. By the mercy of God, we've seen Moses. I follow him. And I'll quote Proverbs 28 and 13 in running. Bible says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall what? Have mercy. So I said that wrath can be turned away in two ways. Mercy, through honesty of heart, humility and repentance. That's how we can turn this thing away. And then the second thing, I said, by vengeance. Say vengeance. Now, this is what God has to resort to when people don't change. I will mention the example of Phinehas in the Bible. Numbers chapter 25, verse 3. Numbers 25, verse 3, 6, and 11 in the Amplified Bible. This background of Israel committed whoredom with the people of Moab. What does this say in the Amplified Bible, please? 25. It says, so Israel joined himself to the god Baal of Peor. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against who? Israel, like it is to the church today. Verse 6. And behold, one of the Israelites came and brought to his brethren a Midianitish woman inside of Moses. You know, this story. Let's go to verse 11. He wasn't even afraid. Where people were crying and people were mourning. That's what we are doing now in the body of Christ. Those that have an ear to hear, let them hear. Because let the priests weep between the pot and the altar. That's what we are doing right now. That's what Moses and the congregation were doing. Asking for mercy. Then this guy now comes and now picks a Midianitish woman, a Moabite. I follow me, and then which is a type of Babylon. And you know what he did, but to save time, verse 11 in the Amplified Bible. See what God did. Eliezer took a spear and pinned the man and the woman together. Now, God is not going to, the weapons of warfare are not flesh and blood. So don't look at, nobody's going to kill anybody, but it's going to be done by the sword of the Spirit as we pray in the Spirit. So Phinehas, the son of Aaron, the priest, has turned my wrath away from the Israelites, in that he was jealous with my jealousy among them, so that I did not consume the Israelites in my jealousy. So you must be jealous for God's jealousy. Are you jealous to see the glory of God? Or you are content to stay in this situation? God forbid. So currently, as we speak, the wise men in Nigeria are in an intense spiritual warfare with the king of Tyros. Revelation chapter 12 verse 7 says, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought, you know, and dragon and his angels fought. And the Bible said there was no place for them in the heavens over our nation Nigeria. And it says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. What a testimony. Not lovely. Ezekiel chapter 28 verse 12 talks about the king of Cyrus, who is actually Satan. The dragon that is sitting right in front of Nigeria, waiting to devour the man child that's about to be born. But he has failed. Say the king of trials has failed. Now, let's look at a story in the Bible. Pastor Bega shared this some years ago, and I would just like to, what brought it to my remembrance. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, read from verses 14 to 16. Talking about wise men. Let's read from verse 14. See, there was a little city. Now remember, the city can be the church and the nation. And few men within it. So it's men we're talking about. There were a lot of children, but few men. The sons of Issachar, just 200. And there came a great king, the prince of king of Tyros, against it, and besieged it, and built what? Great bulwarks against it. Next verse. And now there was found in it a poor wise man. Say, a poor wise man. The fact that he calls him a wise man means he's not poor. So the poor he's talking about there is not physical riches. He's talking about the poor in spirit, humility. Are you with me? Say, he said, and he by his wisdom, delivered what? The city, that's the church, and also our nation. Yet no man remembered the same poor man. That's not the portion. What I want to see that this poor wise man in that city delivered the church, which is what God has called us to do. Are you with me? And they said nobody remembered him. Let's continue. So why has wrath come on the church? I put it, I said, because of the idolatry in the church. Even New Testament covetousness. See, idolatry in the New Testament is what? Covetousness. So I'll mention Achan for us to understand what happened. Joshua chapter 22 verse 20, I'll just mention. You see, they had gone and they entered the promised land, and their God had told us, nobody must take anything. Everything must be given, you know, dedicated to God. And this guy called Achan. Now, Achan means trouble. He went and took what he was not supposed to take. Like many today have taken what God had not told them to take. Like the sons of Eli, they had this three-pronged fork that used to take offering that is not their own. And this is what I want us to say when they were recounting the story. And Joshua said, did not Achan, the son of Zerah, commit a trespass in the accursed thing? And wrath fell on all what? The congregation. It would have been good alone. It was only Achan and his family. They killed them. But you know what? They went to go and fight. And when they went to go and fight, Joshua was so confident. He said, just take a few people. He didn't know that Achan had taken something wrong. You can see why many of our battles are lost. We don't get what we desire. Because there's an Achan in the body of Christ. And the body is one. Are you with me? So there are people while we are trying to move forward, they are trying to take the people back to Egypt. So, I want us to see this issue of wrath so we can understand as it pertains to the church. Covetousness is a terrible thing. Ephesians chapter 5, which from verses 5 to 6. For this you know, say, for this you know, that no whoremonger, so you see all this wickedness, nor unclean person, nor what? Covetous man, who is an what? Idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Now, keep reading, next verse. Say, let no man deceive you, church, with vain words, for because of these things cometh what? The wrath of God upon the what? Children of obedience. So, you see why we experience what we experience. You repeat the same thing, but because of time, you can put it there. Keep in Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 to 7. It says the same thing. It talks about covetousness and says this is why the wrath of God has come upon the children of Israel. Now, why is this message very important? Point number one. The day of the Lord has come as a snare. We are not going to enter the day of the Lord. We are already in the day of the Lord. Bible calls in the book of Joel, say a day of darkness and a day of light. Now, let's see the snare we are talking about. The Lord warned us about this snare. Book of Luke chapter 21, verses 34 to 35. As they open that, I'll give a big background so you can understand. I sent these corners, they do one thing. They say, where is the promise of his coming? You see, it's not what they have said. But you see, they avoid teaching people of how they can become like him. They avoid teaching people how they can watch and pray always. So, this scripture is being fulfilled right now that the master warned about the end time. He said, as a snare will you come upon them that dwell upon the earth. Because they have not taught God's people how to watch and pray so as they can escape. I think you are following me. So that's what they have done. They are saying, when you say where is the promise of his coming, that means you are not going to prepare for that promise of his coming. Are you with me? So that's why they are scorners. So let's read now. And take it to yourselves, lest at any time your heart be what? Overcharged. Say overcharged. With surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life. That is all they think about. How they can get a visa. It's not wrong in itself. But see, the focus, the emphasis of their ministry is tithes and offering. How much they can get. So they begin to preach another gospel. Are you following me? Of this life. And so that day come upon you what? Unawares. It has come. Oh. Next verse. For as a snare, say as a snare. A snare is a trap. Shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the old earth, both the church and the nations. That's why we are today. But God will give us and has given us the answer of peace. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 2 to 9. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as what? A thief in that means suddenly. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Notice it is not the will of God for them not to escape in Luke. He said, watch and pray so you can escape these things and stand before the Son of Man. That means if you don't watch and pray, or you are under the ministry of those that believe or question the promise of his coming in us, I doubt if you don't quickly jump out from Babylon, you can escape. Next verse. But ye brethren are not in what? Darkness. That day should overtake you as a thief. Next verse. Ye are all the children of light and children of the day. And we are not of the night nor of darkness. Next verse. Therefore let us not sleep, spiritually speaking now, as do others. So there are some that are sleeping. The foolish virgins and the wise virgins. But a cry has gone at midnight. So some have woken up. Are you following me? Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Next verse. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. Spiritually speaking, gross darkness has covered the earth. So people are sleeping spiritually. But let us who are of the day be what? Sober. Put on what? The breastplate of faith and love. That's the whole armor of God. That is the... You see, God has made this thing so simple. What pastor has taught us, if you do those things, you know, choose the fear of God. I'm saying ahead of time, put on the love of God. Are you following me? For an helmet, the hope of salvation, which is the hope of your calling. I follow in Christ in you, the hope of glory. Say, for God, those are the things that will keep you and me also as I'm talking. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain what? Salvation by Lord Jesus Christ. Notice which salvation he's talking about. Of his spirit, soul, and body. As we can see in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 23. So the second point I have here is this. God has raised up and is also raising up wise men and their company. Those are under them in the city, which is the church, who through the constant release of the mercy of God, humility, and the wisdom of the ability of the mind of Christ will stabilize the nation. That's what God has done. No? That is what he's doing. This, the Bible says, that the salt of the earth, that the one that is preserving this nation. So don't say, we've been praying. We have not seen results. Folks, that is what is preserving the nation. Don't stop praying. Just work more on your love work, so that prayer can be more efficacious, so you can get more results. So you see, that is why the more you become like him, the more powerful your prayers become. The more you walk in love. Bible says, faith worketh by love. So the more you grow in the love of God, now the more your faith will work. So you can speak to the mountains that are standing before Zerubbabel and say, grace, grace. And God will remove the mountain. Praise the Lord. So they are the salt of the earth. Isaiah 33 verse 6 in the Amplified Bible. Isaiah 33 verse 6 in the Amplified Bible. What does it say? And there shall be what? Stability in your time. Say, there shall be stability in our times in Nigeria. An abundance of salvation. That's the fullness of Christ talking about. Wisdom and knowledge and reverence, fear and worship of the Lord in your is your what? Treasure and ease. So, I don't want to go into that. We've been taught properly so we can decode all that. So, this is going to happen in our nation through intellectual, economic, political, and environmental miracles. We need everything. You see, for God to restore the years that the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer have eaten from 1960, folks, we need this. What we have now can't do. So we need the glory of God. We need ability of the mind of Christ. So that scripture in Isaiah that says, shall a nation be born at once? Yes. When people arise in the fullness of Christ and they cry glory and they begin to manifest intellectual, economic, political, environmental miracles. The glory of the latter house, Bible says, shall be greater than the former. Verse 3. It is the day of God's vengeance. Sorry, third point. We are talking about why, the importance of it. It is the day of God's vengeance, and God wants to protect us, and he also wants us to have boldness in the day of judgment through the perfection of the love of God. If you remember the declaration of our pastor Kule at the end of the day, it's a perfect love at the end of his message, right? Perfect love casts out fear. Folks, I don't need to tell you that 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 17 is happening as I speak. It says that judgment, see, the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And it said, if it begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel? You see, he was talking about the body of Christ. Are you with me? So those that don't obey the gospel are those that are now obeying the purpose of the gospel. It's not, who's not obeying? They are born again. Some of them pray in tongues. But they have left the purpose of the gospel. Just like Peter was still a disciple, but left the purpose for which God, Jesus Christ called him when he went to go and fish. Are you with me? So he's talking about the body of Christ. Now let us read Isaiah 26 verse 9 in the Amplified Bible. That applies to the church. Also applies to the nation. This spreads it out for the nation. Isaiah 26 verses 9 to 11 in the Amplified Bible. So for the time has arrived. No. Isaiah. Please change it to Isaiah. Isaiah 26 verses 9 to 11 in the Amplified Bible. Thank you. Thank you so much up there. So my soul yearns for you, O Lord. In the night, yes, my spirit within me seeks you what? Earnestly. For only. The scriptures cannot be broken. For what we see in Nigeria. For only. Say for only. For only. Where are you again? Say, for only. When your judgments are what? In Nigeria. With the inhabitants of Nigeria, learn righteousness, uprightness, and right standing with God. Next verse. Though favor is shown to the wicked, yet they will not learn righteousness in the land of uprightness. They do what? Perversely. And refuse to see the majesty of the Lord. God is showing mercy to them every day. But I think it's because of all the covenants they have made. Go and ask from Nebuchadnezzar. Some of them will be like Nebuchadnezzar. Some of them will be like Belteshazzar. God will cut them down. There's a writing on the wall already. Either heart and hear to hear, let him hear. Say, though your hand is lifted high to strike, God's hand is lifted high to strike. Lord, they do not see it. Let them see your zeal. Say, let them see your zeal for your people and be ashamed. Let them see your zeal for your people and be ashamed. Yes, let the fire reserved for your enemies consume them. Folks, we need to pray like never before. Psalm 21 says, your right hand shall find out your enemies. There's no hiding place again. It's already begun. I said, when you see these things begin to happen, say, lift up your head for redemption right now. So when you see the fig tree bring forth our bud, then you know the time is near. Okay. So in Ezekiel chapter 9, verse 6, like I was saying, it's going to start from the ancient man. If you read the earlier verses, it said that they should go around, they should mark those that are sighing for the abominations of Jerusalem. So they've been marking everybody. Not a physical marking. It's a mark that comes on you when you begin to practice growing in the fullness of Christ. Then God sets you aside. Yes, this one is following after purpose, perfection of the love of God. So, but it's going to start at the ancient men, both in the church and also in the nation. Slay utterly, old and young, both maids and little children and women. Don't say God is wicked. No, that kind of judgment we are talking about, as I'm just talking, just come, let me just explain. So why slay the children? God did exactly what God did for Jeroboam's son. Jeroboam's son went to heaven. Some of these people, and they are so spiritual sons, God is going to take them away. So don't reproduce after their kind. That's what he did for Jeroboam. You know Jeroboam in the Bible? He's the one that made Israel to sin. The son of Nebat that built the golden calf. One in Dan, one in Bethel. And the Bible said the whole of Israel went to hurry. That thing could not stop. Baasha took over. Even the kings in Israel, some of them would do good, but they would say that golden calf was still there. You see, folks, that's why you see, where did this thing originate from? It's from Satan, no? Both practices first, Aaron. So I see it's the same spirit that was working right from the time they left Israel. It was Aaron that first of all built the golden calf. That spirit is still around today. Many have built a golden calf. I follow him. And like Jeroboam, I follow him. You know, God separated Judah and Benjamin. Because that's, Judah must not be polluted. Because Christ is supposed to come. So Jeroboam had 10 branches, so to speak. 10 in Israel. In which the 10 were worshipping the golden calf. And at the end of the day, if we read, the Bible says that he made a feast. Like on the feast of the 7th month. He made his feast on the 8th month. And what happened? At the 8th month, the Bible says he ordained the basest of men. I can't remember the exact scriptures now. To as priests, that is what is going on now in the body of Christ. People that don't qualify. People that are not called into ministry. How? Because he has money? Or because he's eloquent? Or because he can talk? You know? Motivational messages. Say, yes, you are good. They make him a pastor. So we have the feast of Jeroboam going on in the body of Christ. But the Lord God Almighty is going to send a prophet from Judah. I believe he came from Judah. I said, oh altar, oh altar. He cried unto the altar. That first altar they have raised up. An altar represents the place of prayer. And they have burned incense unto devils. He said, you altar. He said, God will raise up a child from Israel by the name of Josiah. And he's going to burn your priests upon the same altar. Then Jeroboam stretched forth his hand. Don't be afraid to declare the truth. To grab that prophet. I know what God did. He said, the guys aren't just got stuck like that. But for you to know again that this ministry we are talking about is not a ministry of wickedness. God still showed Jeroboam mercy. He told the guy, he said, please pray for me. So there's hope for you if you are listening. If you return from your wicked ways. And the guy said, please pray for me. And what did that guy do? Did that prophet pray for him? And God restored it back. So it's a ministry of Samuel. It's not a Jonah prophetic ministry. So we're not trying to condemn people. If you have been involved in that kind of mission and you're hearing this message, repent. Repentance just means turn around. If we have to close the branches, close them. Close them. What shall it profit a man that shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? There's a scripture I try to look at it recently now every day. I quoted the 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 in Amplified Bible. It said, for we must all stand before the judgment of Christ. And every man will give an account, you know, of his motives, of his methods, of everything he has done in this body, whether they be good or bad. The next verse in 2 Corinthians, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 in Amplified Bible. Let me just mention. Nevertheless, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. 2 Corinthians. Saying, as much as we refuse. Sorry. I'm sorry. Forgive me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. I made a mistake. 5:10. This, for every man of God, it's just an advice. Look at this regularly. So it can be fresh in your mind. Say, for we must all, that's Paul talking, appear and be revealed as we have before the judgment of Christ, as the bearers of Christ, so that each one may receive his pay. So there's a payday coming according to what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. So you can be in the body and do evil. That's what Jeroboam did. Because reading what is what now? What is the evil? Evil is not when you kill somebody. What is the evil? This is the evil. It's pay, what you have done in the body. Considering what is purpose, so if it's not purpose, it is evil. What is his motive? If the motive is not pure, it is evil. Have been, and what he has achieved, being busy with and giving himself and his attention to accomplishing. So if you accomplish it wrong, I don't care whether you have 1 billion branches. I don't care whether you have 5 billion people under you. As far as God is concerned, if the motives are not pure, if not according to purpose, it's evil. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 11 in King James Bible. So God is very serious. These are not in my notes. I just believe I should mention it. 11 in the King James Bible. King James Bible. In King James Bible. See what it says. See? Next verse says, knowing therefore what? The terror of the Lord. Say terror. There's a terror. The goodness and the severity of God. Say, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Who is he persuading? Fellow ministers, I spoke about whose motives are not pure. But we have made manifest unto God, and I trust I also made manifest in your consciences. Judge yourself every day if you're a man of God. Check your motives every day. Check whether the compass has shifted. Then bring it back and ask God for mercy. That's how we set our will every day. Many in the body of Christ have shifted from this message. I just want to mention, just make a cut of time, about Pa Elton. The man came to Nigeria in 1937. 50 years later, he died. God sent that man to raise up an end time generation. You see, if they had hearkened to the voice of this man at that time, we would not be in the problem we are in today. Or at least it would not be as bad as it is. You know why? Because the man came with a kingdom message. In fact, I read recently that somewhere, they said that when he came to Nigeria, initially he was building churches, hospitals, and schools. I said, God spoke to him and said, when are you going to obey my calling for you in Nigeria? That was after 25 years. Then the man started going to universities and started raising up men of God. Some of them are dead today. Some of them are still alive. There's this adage in Yoruba that says, any river that forgets its source will run dry. Some of them left covering or by Elton, so we can see the mess we are in today. Don't forget your source. If they had stayed under that man, who will have helped them steady their ark. They have been able to navigate Nigeria, like Pastor will say, overcome the civil war. They have just pushed that in a way. You know what we are trying to do now? We are trying to gain lost ground. Bible says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, trying to persuade men of God today under the covering of my fathers. Let's continue. Ezekiel chapter 9 verse 6. Let's go back to Ezekiel chapter 9. But just so read that verse. Ezekiel 9:6. It says that start at the ancient men. Ezekiel 9:6. Okay. Is it there? It says, slay utterly old and young, both made little children. Okay, that's why I went off on that. Women, but come not. Not as many they are going to hell. But the righteous is taken away for the evil to come. Are you with me? They're going to heaven. The thief on the cross went to heaven. Saul, Jonathan, and his Melchizedek, his children, they went to heaven. Right or wrong? So God did them a favor. Because they already gone to the witch at Endor. So there was no second chance to go back there again. So God took them. Stay utterly. He said, come not near any man upon whom is the mark. And begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men, which were before the house. So who are those that have the mark? Say, who are those that have the mark? Just came to me now. They are those that are pressed toward the mark of the price or high calling of God. Those are those that have the mark. They are following after purpose. That's the mark we are talking about. So, 1 John chapter 4 verse 17. Says, heaven, his hearing is our Lord made perfect. That we may have boldness. Say, have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in the world. So the more you grow in the love of God, because God is love, then you become bolder. You're not going to be afraid. Though 1,000 shall fall at your side, and 10,000 at the right hand, say, shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you behold and see. Say, see the reward of the wicked. Who is the wicked? The one that casts instructions behind him. 1 John chapter 4 verse 18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because what fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect love. So you see here, this true scripture is not to be afraid. Focus on perfecting the love of God. And it does not matter wherever you are. If it's that little blue book of the love of God that you are doing, taking those confessions, keep doing it. I follow me. What we have, like Pastor Colin was sharing briefly this morning, as Moses is standing on the mountain with Aaron, as you are fighting, then what will happen? Covering, we embellish that little you are doing. So you find that you're not going to be afraid. I say, you shall not be afraid of evil tidings, because his heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. So the boldness we have is not, we're not talking about arrogance here, when you go and do something stupid, where God says, don't go here, and then you go here. No, that's what we're talking about. It's the boldness that comes by the blood of Jesus Christ. But say, therefore, having therefore boldness to enter the holiest of all. Our boldness is not, we're not talking about arrogance here. It's the boldness and the blood that gives you a right standing and also enables you to do the practice right doing. That's why I said, in righteousness you shall be established. Say, you shall not fear. Are you with me? He also says that, I'm trying to remember that scripture. He said, the way now goes on to say, he says that, I'm the one that created the spirit that bore the coals in the fire, and one that created the waste to destroy. And I said, no weapon that is formed or fashioned against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises up against you in judgment, you will condemn. And I said, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is on mine, saith the Lord. So we have boldness in this day of judgment. He will preserve us. I already mentioned Revelation chapter 3, verse 10. Say, because you have kept the word of my patience, Revelation 3:10. And you have not denied my name. So I also will keep you from the hour of temptation, which has come upon the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Now, how? Say, how are we going to walk in the light of these things? So that we too can be part of the wise men company that turn away wrath. Point number one I have here is this. Let's say, by walking with wise men. Proverbs 13 verse 20. That is a starting point too. It's so simple. As I was coming, meditating on the way to come, God spoke this scripture. I never saw it before. Proverbs 13 verse 20 says that he that walketh with wise men shall be what? Wise. But the companion of fools shall be destroyed. It's so simple. Walking with wise men is following wise men. and said it's a type of Paul, the wise master builder, the sons of Issachar. Say, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but the companion of fools shall be what? Destroyed. That's the way of escape. That's where you start from. It's not so much as who cannot walk with me. Just that word walk is like following. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. You see, you may not be able to walk with God yet. Bob says, and Enoch walked with God. I follow me and I was taken. Bob says, and Noah walked with God. I follow him and brought him to the ark. But you see, Noah's children were not walking with God, but they walked with Noah. So you may not be walking with God yet. You may not have reached the stage where you are speaking to God face to face yet. But if you are walking with Noah, you are walking with Enoch, you automatically walking with God, because Enoch is walking with God. Did you get that? So he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. That's why I said this is your prayer I was sharing. So the wisdom, the light, the understanding, as you follow their teachings. I'm not talking about just physical walking. Are you following me? It's about spiritual walk. You practice what you have been told. You practice those instructions. You hold fast and forth in your life. You begin to see that. You begin to walk with wise men. Your God begins to talk to you. I follow him. Then you begin to have an understanding of these things we are sharing now. But you can understand why God is going to do what he's going to do. Praise the Lord. The second point I have here. Two. I put here genuine repentance. Most of this I'm sharing. Once again, I'd like to honor Pastor and Mommy. You go and check Pastor's book, Room and Sin, Mercy and Judgment, The Battle for Nigeria. I think he preached in 2014. Everything is there. So, genuine repentance. Second Corinthians chapter 7, verse 14. We quote it all the time. It says that if my people that are called by my name shall humble themselves, they say humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. So simple. That's where we start from. So we start by walking with wise men. So as we walk with wise men will take us to the altar. They begin to weep between the porch and the altar, like it says in the book of Joel. Saying, spare thy people, O Lord. Give not thy heritage reproach. Let us reason to say, where is our God? Thank God. So if you don't walk with wise men that have an understanding of times and the seasons, are you following me? You will not be among that company. That's how you begin to get wisdom. And that wisdom always starts fasting and money to the world is foolishness. Second scripture, Proverbs 28, verse 13. Said that he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh shall have mercy. So you see, mercy, like I said, this thing, this turn away the wrath of God comes two ways, either through mercy or through vengeance. Now, God wants you to come through mercy, so that mercy goes forth. The Bible says that it's of Lord's mercies we are not consumed. I mentioned in Lamentations. It is by the mercy of God also that we are going to triumph. Bible says mercy. James says triumphs over judgment. James chapter 2 verse 13 NIV. Says mercy will do what? Triumph over judgment. You know what he will do? He will push back. You see, it's not that the judgment. You see, when God says something, it can't be canceled. Though. Understand that. It's like the law of the Medes and the Persians. When they made a decree to kill Haman and his people and Esther, they had to write on that decree which had to be executed before that other decree came into place. You don't understand. When God told the children of Israel that, move away, Moses, let me consume them. And Moses said, no, you can't consume them. God said, no, let me move, let me consume them. I'll raise up another generation from you. I could have done it. And remember, Psalm 19 says, his judgments are righteous. Then Moses said, no, don't do this. Okay, guys, God said, and Pastor, and the Lord repented. Said, and the Lord repented. But the repentance didn't change the judgment. They all perished in 40 years. I often ask myself, why give them 40 years? Why? So that they can change. Space to repent. Thank you, Pastor Ami. So I gave them space to repent. So that in that 40 years, folks, even though they were doomed to die, they can still do something for God that will add to what they are going to get in heaven. 40 years. Space to repent. Many of them didn't. That's the mindset of God in operation. Told us they all perished in the wilderness. Yes. But what of if some of them started following after Caleb and Joshua? In those 40 years, they were age mates. They would have escaped. It is the Bible says they all perished. But you see, they could have pushed. So what I'm trying to say is this. You see, back to our majesty. By the mercy of God, we can push this thing, the wrath of God, such that, you know what is going to happen? That wrath will be deferred until the man child is caught up. You didn't get that. You see, we can defer this judgment. If you are diligent in showing mercy and praying, we can keep pushing it. You will find that in the Bible, in the book of Chronicles, the Bible will say, I will do this, but not in your time. They pushed the thing. They pushed it. Now, this is the end time generation. We can push it and push it and push it and push it. If we do what we're supposed to do, till the church escapes, then he says, great wrath is, said it's a Revelation 12. He said, the Satan has come down and great wrath upon them that are upon us. We can push it and push it. How I was saying, mercy triumphs over judgment. Mercy is going to triumph in our nation, Nigeria. Praise the Lord. So, very important. Now, put it there from Pastor's Weekly Rhema. An increase in the mercy of God can reduce, and totally remove the effect of God's judgment and bring what the expected revival that Nigeria may rise up to our full potential and fulfill our prophetic destiny. You see, when the mercy of God is in operation, are following me, and that mercy delivers the judgment that's supposed to come. I must not deceive you. There has to be judgment. We can't escape that. The scriptures cannot be broken. So we must balance the scriptures, because this is the day of the vengeance of our God. I follow him, because Ephraim is joined to our high doors. Let him alone. Are you with me? So we cannot say that will not occur, which we already see, and it begins. But again, when we talk about vengeance and all these things, like I've given the example of all these people, like Saul. Saul went to heaven. Saul is in heaven. He's watching what is going on today. He's in heaven. Jonathan is in heaven. So we're not talking about the judgment. Not that, it's not a judgment that will take them to hell. Some will, if they continue. I follow him. He said, cast those branches and burn them in the fire. Some will. But I'm trusting God that a lot of them will repent and change. I speak words of truth and soberness. Not because any of us, the gloomy, is exempt from this. I've often sat and thought about these things myself. But why would somebody start like this and end like this? Bible says, take it to yourself and to the doctrine. Take it. Take it. Take it. Stay under covering. Take it to yourself. Practice this in their spiritual forces. Like Pastor taught us, Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 17 downwards. He said, when you make a king, let him make a copy. That is the secret. That's the secret. I don't care if you lose your, forget your bag. Don't forget that prayer book. That shows you how valuable it is. He said, we write a copy that I may read all this, that I may learn to fear God, that his heart be not lifted up against his brethren. This is what I'm talking about. Their heart was lifted up against the man of God that God sent to them. And they dried up. Lord, will have mercy on us. The third thing is, by daily using the blood, say the blood, the word and the spirit, through deep intercession, say through deep intercession, we travel to clean out the residual sin nature in our souls and our bodies, in order to obtain the total salvation of our spirit, souls, and bodies with the imminent manifestation of the glory of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. I say a lot of things there. That is what we do every morning when you join Good Morning Jesus. It's a platform to practice. As you practice, you become perfect. And like I shared some time ago, about the woman, the widow woman, that told his children to go and borrow vessels. Why did he borrow the vessel? He said that the oil that was in the initial vessel can be poured in the empty vessels that they brought in and locked in. That's how you catch the spirit of a leader. To begin to see yourself pray, the spirit of intercession that on the Father will begin to fall upon you. Once you have been, you might be an empty vessel, you might come in an empty vessel, or you are going out what? A full vessel. And like he said, go and pay the debt. That's how we're going to pay the prayer debt. We need a lot of people to come in. Come in empty, you go out full. The fullness of Christ. What does it say? First, it says that, for God has not appointed us to wrath. So we see the purpose of God for us. But to obtain what? Salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's not the salvation of getting born again, because you're already born again. It's salvation of spirit, soul, and body that he's talking about. Bible says the end of our faith is the salvation of our souls. Isaiah 4 verse 5. I said that when that salvation comes, it also comes with what? God, the imminent glory we are expecting. Isaiah chapter 4 verse 5 says, and the glory upon all the glory is a defense. You see, this permanent abiding presence that requires Sangoff, when it comes, it will now defend us from every satanic affliction. And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon our assemblies a cloud and smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For upon all the glory shall be a defense. That's our defense in this end time. We need to hasten his coming. Say, hasten his coming. We need to hasten the manifestation of the glory of God. That we're going to defend people. God will now make a distinction. Something will happen here. Then all those under, like Jesus Christ, nothing will happen to his disciples. Why? Because he had the glory. Yeah, that was why. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. Papa Kune quoted it. See, when he has called us, that's why, you see, the glory, the obtaining of glory is the ultimate of our Christianity. Just like when Adam fell, Bible says, all have sinned and are cut short. Oh, God. That is the ultimate. That is the crown that God is going to give us. That is the reward. Of the fullness of our inheritance. So, whereunto he called you by what? Gospel. So any gospel that we preach that does not emphasize the obtaining of the glory is another gospel. I said emphasize. Say emphasize. That does not make the primary goal is another gospel. When he has called you by a gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then the fourth thing I've spoken about is vengeance. So when mercy works, because also a day of vengeance of our God. That has taught us about the bloody house of Saul. That is, God is going to remove the bloody house of Saul. No Saul. Those two who through rebellion and stubbornness have made their hearts a portal for Satan to operate through lying signs and wonders that they do. And already Saul has already been to the witch at Endor. So what are we saying? You can see that in 2 Samuel chapter 21 verses 1 and following. I don't need to talk that. But what happened? Let me just explain. What happened is this. There was a famine in the land. The first year, second year, third year. And David said, God, first year, second year, what is going on? Then he went to inquire of the Lord. And God told him, it's because of the bloody house of Saul. He killed the Gibeonites that was not supposed to kill in his zeal. That wasn't God's zeal. And then you know what happened? They took some of the family members and they executed them. Now, we're not talking naturally here. But you see, Saul and his sons have to go. So the famine of the world can stop. Then it was a physical famine, but as a famine of the world and the land. Are you with me? So, the true word now, not the word that people are preaching. Psalm 149 verses 5 to 9. 149 verses 5 to 9. Psalm 149. Let's pray together. Which verse 5 now? This is what God is going to do in the day of vengeance. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Next verse. That talks about when you get up in the morning. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth. And a what? Two-edged sword in their hand. Next verse. To execute what? Vengeance upon the heathen. Are you following me? Isaiah 26 that we read. And punishments upon the people. Are you following me? If my people that are called by my name. So you can see those two set of people there. The heathen and then the people. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. Next verse. To execute upon them a judgment written. Dishonor of all saints. Praise ye the Lord. Now, let me explain to you how this is going to happen. You see, it's as this company of wise men, I and the children that are under them, is as they pray. It's not a physical judgment. Now, follow me. I will talk about Ephesians chapter 6. It says that taking the sword of the Spirit, praying always. What kinds of prayer in the Spirit? Are you with me? You go to the book of Revelation twice. He talks about the Lord Jesus Christ. Say that out of his mouth went out what? A sharp two-edged sword. Who are the mouthpiece of God? The prophets and the apostles. So that sharp two-edged sword that is going out after the master is speaking about the apostolic and the prophetic ministry. The mouthpiece, those that declare the word of the Lord. As they pray in the spirit, that's how you wield that sword. But it's by the spirit. It's not a physical sword. The sword says, taking up the sword of the spirit. The next says, praying with all manner and kinds of prayer in the spirit. And then, you know, with all supplication for all sins. So that's how that thing operates. Amos chapter 5, verse 13. Oh, I need to round up. Sorry, I've taken a bit of time. Amos 5, verse 13. This is what is going to happen with your vengeance. Say, therefore, the prudent shall keep silence in that time, for it is an evil time. Say, it's an evil time. Next verse. Say, good. So you can see God wants a change. So it's not as if this is what God wants to happen that we'll see at the end. So God began, like he told him, God said, seek good and not evil, that you may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you as you have spoken. Next verse. So it's a massive speaking. Hate evil. Say, hate the evil. And love the good. And establish what? Judgment in the gate. That is the place of authority, both in the church and in the nation. So you can see God is showing mercy. He's sending a warning. A warning is not a curse. I follow him. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. You know the people of Nineveh? I must understand the heart of God when you talk about God's judgment. They are righteous altogether. His heart is to save people. When people with a recalcitrant heart say, no, we are not going to, agree. And then the judgment come. But it that been often reproved and hardened the stake shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Mercy, Lord. It may be that the Lord of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. Next verse. Therefore, the Lord, the God of hosts, the Lord saith, thus, when they don't repent, wailing shall be in all streets, and they shall say in all the highways, alas, alas, it shall call the husbandman to mourning, and such as are skillful of lamentation to wailing. We're taking up a lamentation for these strange children. Therefore, the Lord God of hosts, next verse, I think I've read that. And in all the vineyards shall be wailing. That talks about the church. For I will pass through thee, said the Lord. God is going to go through his church. And in the vineyards shall be wailing, for I will pass through thee, said the Lord. That's because they didn't exercise judgment and mercy. Next verse. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. As for them. Next verse. As if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned, you know, as if a man fled from a lion and a bear met him, or went into his house and leaned his hand on the wall, and what happened? A serpent what? Bit him. Is there any other verse? Verse 20? No. Next verse. What does it say? Okay, let's stop at that because of time. That we're willing. He says, going to pass through his vineyard. The vineyard speaks about the body of Christ. Now, after he goes through his vineyard, that's about says, two thoughts have been cut off. And the remaining one thought will pass through the fire. It's passing through the vineyard. The Bible says that three shepherds will be cut off in 1 month. It's passing through the vineyard. Are you with me? What we read earlier on, you know, in that scripture that we quoted earlier on, you know, he says, going to go through his vineyard. But there's nothing to be afraid. As long as you are perfect in the Lord of God. Once you have that mark, you are okay. Then the fifth thing that is going to occur, you can see the sequence. Mercy comes first. No, the first thing that occurs is you must follow the wise men. Then the second thing that is following, you learn to pray. After you learn to pray, you know, through that prayer, judgment will come. And then the next thing is revival. Say revival. This is a good path. You have to end on a good note. Proverbs 16 verses 14 to 15. This is what we are going to do. Proverbs 16 verses 14 to 15. Proverbs 16 verse 14. It talks about the wrath of the king. Say, the wrath of a king is as what? Messengers of death. But, say but. Say but. This is the key. Oh. This is the key. But what? A wise man will what? Pacify it. So we can pacify it. Next verse. It's continuous discourse. In the light of his king's countenance is what? Life. And his favor is as what? A cloud of what? The latter rain. Just like the choir sang earlier. We are going to turn away that wrath. So that which is meant for evil, God is going to cause it to work together for our good as revival breaks forth in our nation. Psalm 85, verse 3. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thy anger to those wise men. Next verse. Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger towards us to cease. Next verse. Next verse, please. Will thou be angry with us forever? Will thou be angry with us forever? Will thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Say no. Very important we know that. This is the end time generation. Next verse. Will thou not revive us again, that thy people in Nigeria may what? Rejoice. You can read the rest of the verse when you get home. It's a very encouraging verse. And it speaks about the end of our nation, Nigeria. It said, righteousness is spring forth. Truth has looked down. Said they've kissed each other. So it is as we do this, then, because it's the end time generation, we have to sustain the revival till the rapture occurs. So it will not be like all the other revivals that started and went down. And how are we going to sustain this revival? The last point. We are going to begin to teach. Teaching people to perfect the love of God by true fivefold ministry. So what we have learned, we now teach people. You pass it to the next generation. This that I begin to do, we begin to teach people. As we teach them, they are doing it. So that the thing will move from, like say Isaiah 59. Say the spirit that is upon my spirit upon you. And my word that's in your mouth. That's the word of love we are talking about. Like which we preach. Are you following me? He said, it will not depart from my mouth. Not from the mouth of your seed. Or from the mouth of your seed. Seed unto the third and unto the third generation. Are you with me? So that's how we're going to sustain this revival. We're going to teach them. The children, those that are come, that's how we're going to sustain the revival. And I have a scripture that God showed me. 2 Chronicles chapter 17. We from verses 7 to 11. I said, we'll teach them to perfect the love of God by true fivefold ministry. True fivefold ministry. 2 Corinthians verse 17. 2 Corinthians 17 verses 7 to 11. Also, say also, in the third year of his reign, he's talking about Jehoshaphat. But we know on the third day, the perfect day, third day from the birth of Christ. So also, in the third year of his reign, he sent to his princes, even to say one, Ben-Hal, and to what? Obadiah 2, to what? Zechariah 3, to what? Nathaniel, and to what? Micaiah 5. That speaks of fivefold, true fivefold ministry. To do what? To teach in the cities of Judah. Say to teach, talked about the churches that are going on to perfection. In the cities of Judah, and not only them, because I and the children. Next verse. And with them, say, and with them, he sent the Levites, even Shemaiah, and Netaniah, and Zebadiah, and Asahel, and Shemiramoth, and Jehonathan, and Adonijah, and Tobijah, and Tobadonijah. Levites. Yes. He sent Pastor Laolu. He sent whoever. You can put your name there. I follow him. And with what? Elishama and Joram the priest. To do what? And they what? Taught in Judah. And they had worked the book of the law. Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 17. That's the key. This love of God. With them. And went about throughout all the cities of Nigeria. And they taught the people. Speaking prophetically. When Jesus Christ's ministry started, you know what he said? He said, I'm not sent to the Gentiles. I'm sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, it's not a law. But you see, we are going to disciple the nations. First, with our nation, Nigeria. So, as we round up, then shall come to pass Psalm 144, verses 12 to 15. Please put it there. So, when these things are beginning to take place, Psalm 144, verses 12 to 15, where it says that, rid me of strange children. You know, it says that our sons, after all that has taken place, are you following me? Said that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the smooth of a palace. Next verse. That our garners may be full, affording all manner of store. That our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our streets. Next verse. That our oxen may be strong to labor. And there be no breaking nor going out. That there be no complaining in our streets in Nigeria. Next verse. Happy is that people. Say, happy is that people. That is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Last scripture as we stand to pray. Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 19 to 20. Mommy quoted it while we were praying this morning. And I believe it's very, very important that we end with this scripture. Because there is so much reproach on Nigeria, both within and outside. But you see, like Mommy will always say, we need to be grateful to God. In spite of what is going on, to show there is a God in Nigeria. Are you following me? He stayed this coronavirus thing, in spite of predictions all over the world. The Bible says it is not of him that will it, nor of him that run it, but whom God showed mercy. God showed us mercy. They are prophesied. They are said that people are going to be falling on the streets. Even those that are manufacturing the vaccine, people are falling on the streets. Yeah, the only thing that we have to our name in Nigeria is that we serve a living God. The God who sits on the mercy throne. The God that does not delight in the strength of the ox. So it's a vain thing for a king to be saved with an army. So you can imagine this situation is bread for us. You know why? It just comes to me. You know when Nathan, God told David, he says, choose these three things. He said, that your enemy pursue you, that you have famine for kidney or a pestilence. He said, let me just fall on the mercy of God. Say, Nigeria is falling on the mercy of God and is bound to save us. Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 19 to 20. See the mercy of God at work in our nation. Behold, say, behold, let's together as pray. Behold, at that time, even this time, will I undo all, say all that afflict thee, the strange children. And I will save her that halted, and gather her that was driven out. And I will get them what say praise and fame in every land where we have been what? Put to shame. Next verse. Say, at that time, which is this time, will I bring you what? Again. Bible says, when God turned the captivity of Job, or the captivity of Zion, we are like them that dream. God's about to turn our captivity. Even in this time, will I gather you, for I will make you what? A name. Say a name. And a praise among all. Say all. The people of the earth. Nigeria will become the envy of the nations. When I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord of hosts. Let's stand to our feet. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Sorry we've taken some extra time today, but I believe done what God wants us to do. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The Lord and Father of mankind, forgive our foolish ways. Reclose us in the mindful minds, in pure lives thy service find, in deeper reverence praise, in deeper drop thy still use of quietness, drop thy still use of quietness, till all our strivings cease. Take from our souls the strain and stress.
Take from our souls the strength and stress, and let our ordered lives confess the beauty of thy peace, the beauty of thy peace.
One more verse. Breathe through the heat of our desire.
Breathe.
It's a prayer. It's a prayer.
The heat of our desire, thy coolness and thy balm.
Let sense be done.
Let sense be done. Let flesh return. Speak through the earthquake, wind and fire. Oh, still small voice of calm. Oh, still small voice of calm.
Let's respond to the Lord. Let's quickly ask God for forgiveness wherein we have not been as diligent as we ought to. It's a message of hope. It's a message of mercy. It's a message and it's a privilege to be called to be co-laborers with God in His vineyard, to turn away the wrath of God. He's definitely going to come. He said, the Lord whom you see shall suddenly come into His temple. Say, who shall stand when He appeared? But the key is this. It is those that put on the armor of love that will stand. So let's talk to those. Raise up one hand and let's practice the operation. You see, there's a spiritual technology. When we repent and we ask forgiveness, there's a spiritual technology, which if you use pastor's book, Perfecting Love of God, or the Practical Guide to Prayer, you see that those confessions are there. We confess the sins of ourselves and our household, and the sins of our people, fathers and forefathers, of greed, murder, wickedness and injustice, and of all covenants that have been made on behalf of Nigeria. You know why we have to do this thing over and over? Why you cannot be weary or well doing in this regard? It's because as you are confessing, there are some that are doing another one now. So you cannot say, I've confessed the sins of this nation, you know, greed, money, wickedness. There are people right now that are having meeting in political realm. There are churches people now that are committing these same things. So we can never stop confessing the sins of ourselves, of our nation, Nigeria. So that way we neutralize the effect. Bible says that the mouth of the righteous is a well of life. Let us pray. Say, Lord, please have mercy on us, and so we receive your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Your life and your power in sufficient measure as we pray. Say, Heavenly Father, I confess our sins, the sins of myself, members of my immediate families and our household, and also the sins of our nation Nigeria, of our fathers, forefathers, of greed, murder, wickedness and injustice, and also of covenants made on behalf of our nation Nigeria. Lord, we annul all these covenants and remove every charge against us, our nation Nigeria, by the blood of the Lamb. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me that as a wise man, through your mercies, under the covering that placed me under, we can turn away your wrath and the affliction of the enemy against our land. I come to receive fresh mercy, fresh grace in sufficient measure, to daily exercise honesty and humility of heart by confessing our sins, and to daily, through self-denial, use the blood, the word, and the spirit to perfect your love by frequently washing our feet, through asking for mercy unto eternal life when I see people sin, and so turn away the wrath that your revival might come in our nation Nigeria. In Jesus' name, let's pray in the spirit. Please, let's pray in faith. Father, we thank you. Lord Jesus, thank you. Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your mercies. Lord Jesus, thank you for your grace. Lord, we thank you for your manifest presence. Thank you for the covering of the Father as we give you praise, glory, honor, and adoration. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.